Welcome to the second part of the Europe Direct Blanchardstown Library podcast on the European Mental Health Week. Now, yesterday we spoke to psychotherapist Amber Roach, and we spoke about some of the different mental health issues that people will present with. We spoke about stress, we spoke about depression and anxiety and some of the signs, and we spoke about some of the maybe the stigmas around mental health, which thankfully are getting less and less. And this time we want to talk a little bit about some everyday tips that we can all do to improve our mental health. So welcome back, Amber, and thanks for talking to me again.
Oh, thank you, Barry. Thanks for inviting me back.
So, right, let's start off. One of the first things you mentioned to me in our last podcast was sleep can often be one of the signs that something is awry. And it's often said better sleep is one of the ways we can look after our mental health. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes. So sleep is really, really important, particularly for our mental health, to rest, recover, rejuvenate. However, if we are experiencing difficulties, or if we're going through depression, anxiety, or stress, it can really have a strong impact on our sleep. And it can either be that you can't get to sleep, so you might be lying in the bed, churning thoughts back and forth, not being able to get asleep, or that you can wake up suddenly, particularly with anxiety. So wake up in a start, you know, palpitations, that kind of thing, night terrors. Or it can be that a sign, particularly with depression, is of sleeping too much, because sleep can be, in a sense, an escape from reality, an escape from what's going on.
And what can we do to maybe help ourselves get good quality sleep? Is there anything we can do in our everyday that might help?
Yes, so we talk about sleep hygiene, and the focus would be particularly on getting a really good bedtime routine. And not having any gadgets, phones, distractions, TVs in the room. So your sleeping space is a place purely for sleep. It's free from those kind of distractions. Because what happens is, if we're stuck to our phone, looking at, you know, Facebook, TikTok, or whatever, we're overstimulating the brain again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which then makes it really difficult to fall asleep.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've experienced it yourself, Barry, but I certainly have, where there's nights, you know, I'll go into bed, I think I'm tired, I'll bring the phone with me, and next, you know, thing, 2 hours later, I'm still on TikTok or something.
Look, I think we've all been there. Yeah. And the other thing is, I mean, you're often in a dark room, and then you've got this light source,
it's the light
shining into your face, which is not doing you any good. It's not doing your, your body is probably reacting to it like, oh, well, it's light, so I'm not going to sleep.
Absolutely.
It's not good for the eyes. Yeah. It's you know, this really, and we all do it. I do it all the time. I'm sure you've done this, Amber, where I've actually been so tired, I have the phone up and it's fallen on my face.
Yes.
You know, I've done that only the other night.
All
guilty of it.
We are. So we need to put the phone away, put it across the room. If you have an alarm on the phone, you know, put it somewhere where you kind of have to get out of the bed and access the phone then, so you'll get up anyway.
That's a good idea. But
how it affects us also is that when we have a lack of sleep, you know, our rational brain isn't really thinking properly.
Yeah.
So we tend to make decisions that are not always the right decisions. People can also feel a sense of paranoia, hypersensitivity.
Right.
So prone to maybe outbursts or crying, that kind of thing. It affects our skin, We don't look good. We're not performing well. It can be dangerous as well, particularly if you're driving or operating machinery. So it's really important that we get our sleep routine into check. And it can be, you know, maybe having a bath or a shower before bed, de-stressing in some way. We've talked about leaving the phone behind, turning off the TV. Some people use apps that have, you know, maybe some kind of a relaxation music or meditation. That can help get people off to sleep. But it's also just creating a comfortable space for yourself, free from clutter, if you can. People sometimes can burn some essential oils in the room before they go to sleep. Or having a hot drink, maybe a chamomile tea or one of those.
Not a coffee.
Definitely not a coffee.
No.
Absolutely. Don't really have a coffee after lunchtime. And try and cut down on the tea as well, or very sugary foods. Also, not having a large meal before you go to bed, because again, the body's trying to digest that.
Of course.
So it affects our sleep.
I've often heard maybe have your meal maybe slightly earlier than you might normally to
Before bedtime.
Give your body the chance to digest.
Exactly. Yes, of course.
Yeah. So that's sleep. So I mean, that's obviously a huge thing. Exercise is so important for mental health. So can you maybe expand on that a little?
Yes. So again, when we exercise, if we're feeling stressed, we're producing a lot of adrenaline, a lot of cortisol in our bodies. When we exercise, it's a way of getting rid of that buildup of adrenaline and cortisol. And we naturally then begin to produce those feel-good hormones and chemicals. That's why exercise is really, really important. It helps with our sleep. It helps with the mind-body connection when we feel good about our bodies. Our mental health improves as well. We're also getting fresh air into our system, so we're oxygenating the blood.
And you were saying, like, it doesn't have to be something expensive. You don't have to spend hundreds on a gym or something. You can, it could be just
not
a walk.
At all. Yeah, you can go for a walk. Also, just people can access online, you know, exercise classes, yoga classes, and it can be just even 5 to 10 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but really try and make sure that you do get in exercise every day.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm lucky I can walk to work. It takes me about an hour or so. And I love putting on an audiobook or a podcast and just walking along with that. And it's lovely. And maybe if you can't do that, maybe get off the bus a couple of stops early and walk the rest of it home just to get that little
That's
bit of air.
It. Yeah. Or, you know, take the stairs instead of the lift.
Something
small. It's about making a small start. Often people, when they hear the word exercise, it can feel overwhelming. And if you're not in a good headspace, there can be a lack of motivation to do things. So really, it's just starting off small. As you said, Barry, it might be getting off the bus one stop earlier. You know, walking around to the shops instead of driving. Anything.
Isn't that sometimes, whether it be with diet or exercise or any change we want to make, sometimes we try to do too much, don't we, at once? We try and make this massive change and we get discouraged after a few days. But maybe a little incremental change, I think, is the key, isn't it?
It is, yes. Incremental changes that you can stick to as well. You don't say, okay, I have to sign up in the gym, and then, you know, the gym membership never gets used up, and that can kind of exasperate that sense of failure and, oh, I can never stick to anything.
Listen, I'm looking right now at an exercise bike that has functioned more as a clothes horse in the last while. There's actually clothes hanging off and right now, to my great shame. So maybe after this, I'll have to get back on the horse, so to speak. I mentioned earlier, I'm going to take the opportunity to plug something here, because I mentioned about the audiobooks, and of course, You can come down to any of your Fingal libraries and get audiobooks on CD or anything, but you can also get them online. Okay, sign up for your online accounts and it's completely free. So you go to
Right.
BorrowBox and you can download them straight onto your phone, stick in your headphones, you've got your audiobooks there. And I find they make exercise a lot easier if I'm listening to a
They do.
podcast or something, because they kind of take your mind off the physical part of it.
Yes, of course, the physical strain of it. And at any age, we can start off, like start up doing exercise. Again, depending on your general health, but it doesn't have to be anything too strenuous. But also, I know there's a big surge now of interest in sea swimming.
Oh,
And that cold water swimming in
right.
Ireland. And if there's also a great sense of community and spirit there as well.
Yes.
And connection is so important for us.
Well, listen, that's going to lead us to the next thing, actually. Because another good thing for mental health, isn't it? It's connection and it's
It
being with
is.
other people. And there's so many
Yes.
ways we can do that, isn't there? Let's talk
There
about that a bit.
really is. Yeah, there really is, Barry. And again, with COVID, there was such a sense of isolation. And that did, I think, so much damage to people's mental health. Not our basic need as humans is to connect with others. It's a primal instinct that we have. Being part, feeling part of something really helps. Often, again, when people are feeling depressed, they may want to isolate. But just having that opportunity, just somebody just checking in and seeing how you are, it can be just somebody says a friendly word to you, how's your day? And it can just lift things for you. But just talking to people, it really helps. And that can be a friend, a neighbor, or a paid profession.
Absolutely. And I mean, I remember myself when I was having maybe a difficult day and having a friend just come around, and we didn't even talk about the issue. I think we played computer games together, and that was great. It just being around people made such a difference. And
It
another thing,
does.
it does, doesn't it? Yeah, go on.
It's the basic human connection.
Absolutely. And if you're struggling, and lots of people are struggling to make friends, and you mentioned migrants in our last podcast. And I mean, you've got people coming to this country, also often coming from very traumatic situations, probably suffering from terrible post-traumatic stress, war
Yes.
zones, that type of thing. And there's a lot of loneliness there. And
There
we see a
is.
lot of people, and I'm really glad to say it, who use the library facilities to come. And we have language groups, we've different clubs that meet, book clubs, all kinds of things. And I mean, many years ago, and you and I both have a common interest in photography. And many years
Yes.
ago, I joined a photography club and I made some lifelong friends there. Oh, so if there's something you're interested in, look in, see, can you join a club, meet like-minded people. You know,
Yes,
it's a
it's
great way
getting
of.
out there. And, people have become so isolated. And again, people just stuck at home, maybe stuck on, their phones. The interaction that we used to have with others has somewhat been lost. But we do need it. No man is an island. That's what I say.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, getting in contact with other people. I want to go back to you. We spoke about exercise. Diet is another thing, isn't it, that can have a big effect on mental health.
It can again. In the last podcast, we looked at the gut-brain connection. So again, what we eat can really affect our mood. So it's really important, I suppose, to include foods. Lots of fruit, veg, the usual fiber, and those kind of things, but also foods that would have probiotics in them as well. Things like sauerkrauts, kimchi, all of those kind of things. And we have access now to such a wide range of foods as well. And you know, things like sauerkraut, those kind of pickled vegetables,
Yes,
they're all
yeah.
pretty cheap, but they're really good for your gut. And again, that's really good for our brain.
Yeah, I mean, literally around the corner, I can almost see it out my window. I mean, we have a Polish shop and we have an Asian shop, and you can get all these amazing, especially the Polish shops are great for the pickled
Yes,
vegetables.
the pickled
Get
foods.
great stuff in there. And
Yeah.
in the Asian shop, we what's lovely is we get foods that we never had before in Ireland, and the kimchi, things like that.
Yes.
So I mean, it is out there.
It is. And also, you know, I can just speak for myself, even when if I've, you know, overindulged in sugar, I generally feel lethargic. You know, the sugary foods again can produce insulin. So we get a surge in our blood sugars, and there's that kind of initial high and then the huge drop. So it's just being mindful of what we eat.
And I think that's sugar's the big one, isn't it? I mean, that's
Yes,
when we talk about,
it
when we've talked about fat for years and we talk about this and that, sugar seems to be the one that really can have a quite a detrimental effect.
It can. And you know, I think it's again just moderating, just not being kind of Gwyneth Paltrow about it, but a little bit of
Yeah,
everything
moderation.
sometimes. Yeah, moderation, exactly. Moderation.
That's it.
And again, you know, dark chocolate is really good for us as well. So if you've a sweet tooth, maybe just swapping it over for some dark chocolate. Again, Barry, I'm no nutritional expert at all. But you know, I've worked with a lot of people and who again do that connection with how we eat, what we eat affects our mental state as well.
Yeah, definitely. And the sugar one really hits me because I've been there with that, and I know how overindulging in sugar, what it can do to you. Because for a while you're okay, and then the crash hits, and you get so
Yes, it.
tired, maybe a bit irritable. You know, it really
Yes,
affects
of
your mood.
course.
It affects your mood in a big way.
It really does. Yeah, big time. Again, you know, we get that dopamine hit from sugar. So the cravings can be quite intense.
Very strong. But I found when I kind of did kind of get off the sugar, if you can get, I think, to the 2 week mark, about 2 weeks
Yes.
after, that's when the cravings begin to go. You kind of, and it makes all the difference. When I kind of quit sugar, and I did quit, I still have a little bit of dark chocolate at the weekends, of course. But when I basically quit it, and within a week, my mood was elevated, my sleep was better, my skin was better, my gut was better, everything was better, everything. But
Yes.
especially, we're talking about mental health, so I felt it in my mood and my sleep,
Yeah.
definitely elevated. So, I mean, that's just my personal experience, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah.
Not to say I don't fall off the wagon now, then, of course I do. We all do. And
Exactly.
it's okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing is not
Yeah.
to beat yourself up too much either.
You're right. That's it, you know.
You
Let
know,
go of guilt.
and that's another thing actually, and I don't kind of really have this in my notes, but guilt, and this is another thing I think with looking after your mental health, we're our own worst critics, aren't we, for
We
everything,
are.
whether it be our diet or something else or work or anything or parenting or whatever. We tend to save our most of our harshness for ourselves. And maybe that's another part of good mental health, is maybe learning to be a bit kinder to ourselves.
It is, and it can be about observing that self-talk.
Yes.
Would you speak to another person the way you speak
Exactly.
to yourself? Would you speak to your child, your parent in that way? So it's catching ourselves and observing what's going on and giving yourself some slack, you know, being a little bit gracious towards yourself. We're all going to have bad days. We're all going to mess up, but it's moving on from it and not remaining stuck. And guilt and shame keep us stuck in a cycle. And that cycle just goes round and round. So it's breaking that. And I actually spoke with a client today around that who was feeling, you know, who was having those kind of thoughts, self-depreciating thoughts all the time, feeling like he was a failure, and it was creating a downward spiral. So I asked him, you know, can you be an observer of your thoughts? Is this automatic, or can you begin to notice when you're speaking to yourself so harshly? And our thoughts affect our mood.
Yeah.
Our mood then affects our behavior. And this is why we need to catch those thoughts and be a little bit kinder to ourselves.
Yeah, and sometimes when you, I think when you learn to catch those thoughts and then kind of decoupling from them, and kind of let
yes.
them go, and whether it be like the image, I have two images I often use. One was the train carriage, decoupling, let it go, or letting go of a balloon. It's not real. It's just a thought.
It's just a thought. And Mark Williams, who is a professor in mindfulness, mm-hmm. he speaks about the thoughts as being clouds, and our mind is like the sky. Our thoughts are the clouds. Some are dark, some are big, some are light, but the sky remains.
Okay.
And I really love that analogy.
Lovely image, yeah.
It is. Our mind, it can be just in a state of peace, but it's the thoughts that we allow enter in. And they can become compulsive and repetitive.
Yeah.
And one kind of technique that I offered to this client today was actually using an elastic band, simple elastic band, and put it around your wrist. And when you notice that thought, it's to kind of snap the band.
Okay.
And it kind of just, it kind of creates that almost like a little shock.
Yeah.
That you move away from the thought.
Yeah.
And to keep doing it so it can become automatic then.
Yeah, it's often about changing those kind of pathways in the brain.
It is in the brain.
Yeah, to create new habits. I want to go back, because you mentioned mindfulness there, and that's something I really want to talk about, because I've used this, and we've had mindfulness sessions at the library as well, run by the library or by Europe Direct. We had a wonderful lady in called Rita O'Donovan, and we'll hopefully get her back soon. And she's done mindfulness sessions with adults, with kids. We had yoga the other day, actually, with some kids in doing it. My son does yoga in his classroom. They do mindfulness
Fantastic.
Every single day, which is brilliant. So what is mindfulness? It was kind of a bit of a buzzword a few years ago. It was a really big thing a while back.
It was a buzzword at the time. So I guess mindfulness is just about us being an observer of our thoughts, and how we think. It's being present to ourselves and to what we're doing and to others. So I guess the guru of mindfulness is Jon Kabat-Zinn. And he did a lot of studies on monks. So they looked at some MRI scans of a monk's brain, and they could see the differences in their brain and how, you know, the brain was active in different parts. So this is science-based as well. It's not just some kind of gobbledygook thing. But I guess the essence of it is about being present. And again, I find it really, really useful.
That's really interesting what you said about kind of being present, because we spend so much of our time either ruminating on the past, oh God, I should have done this, or I shouldn't have done that, or worrying about the future, and we forget to be in the now. Mindfulness is a way of kind of training ourselves, and it's not something that takes 10 minutes a day.
Course. And again, there's something that I would recommend, which is on YouTube. You can find a series of mindfulness meditations by Mark Williams. And he goes through, they're guided meditations. Mm-hmm. And
I've done some of them. They're excellent.
Yeah, they're excellent. Yeah. And some of them are 3 minutes. The longest, I think, is 14 minutes. Wow. But it's using techniques like our breath to bring us back into the present, to bring us back to the here and now. So if you find that you're, you know, overthinking about something, we all can do that. And, you know, next thing we're in worst case scenario. And our body reacts as if this is real. The brain can't differentiate. The body can't differentiate something is real or not.
We've all had a row in our heads, haven't we?
We all have.
And you get all wound up.
Oh, yeah. Pumped up. I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that. And the heart is racing.
Yeah.
You know, how much time have we wasted on that? And the event might not have happened.
Exactly. Worrying about things that haven't happened.
Exactly. Futurizing and catastrophizing as well.
We've all done it. And I will say as well that the Mark Williams books and John Kabat-Zinn are, of course, available in the library, and some of them for download as well. So do come in. And little fact there is that John Kabat-Zinn's father-in-law is Howard Zinn. And he wrote an incredible history of the United States that nearly got him kicked out of the country when he wrote it. Wow. It was highly controversial because he went into issues of slavery and he wasn't afraid to criticize. It wasn't the kind of everything is wonderful history. It was a bit more critical. And his wife, I think John Kabat-Zinn and his wife took each other's names, interestingly.
Hence the Kabat-Zinn.
But Howard Zinn was his father-in-law. And his book, that book, I think it's called The People's History of the United States, is in there. And I only discovered that link recently. But it nearly got him thrown out of the country. And he's updated it a few times since. But like I said, the Mark Williams ones, the John Kabat-Zinn, they're all available. Do check them out. And they often come with the guided meditations in them.
They do.
If they're not available, go to YouTube. They're all on there. Make sure to switch off ads if you can. I got caught out by that once midway through a meditation. I got an advert for God knows what, Life Insurance or something in the middle of my meditation.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want that.
There's some great little apps around as well. And some of them are free, or you you know, sign up for a certain amount of time for free. It gives you an opportunity to check them out. I think one of my favorite apps is called Insight.
Yeah, I have it. I'm just looking at it on my phone right now. Yeah, it's really good.
And it does a whole host of things. There are sleep apps, meditations for sleep. There's music for sleep. There's mindfulness. There's affirmations. There's a whole host of things that you can use. So,
there's great options, and they don't have to cost anything. That's the beauty. Yeah. And that's the thing as well. The smartphones and that, they do have their uses. They can be positive. And when we did our sessions recently on like social media and that with Ricardo da Silva from DCU, and he said, look, it's not all bad. These could be incredibly useful things.
Of course.
Information out of them. I mean, I booked a restaurant yesterday. I can book a flight. I was in Malta recently. I was able to find my way around with Google Maps. So they can be great if used well.
Yes.
But I want to segue from there into the other side of it. And we did mention this in the last podcast. You know, we are constantly glued to our screens. I know I'm guilty of it. Even my son said to me yesterday, Daddy, why are you always on your phone? And I was like, oh God, he's completely right. He's completely right. And I think we all sit on any bus anywhere and look around you, and everyone, you know,
everybody's
will be glued
on
to
the
screen.
Yeah.
And you know, is maybe a little less screen time could help our mental health?
A little less screen time and a little more conversation. It's a bit like that, about finding our human connections again, having those interactions with others. But again, with the phones, you know, and particularly reels, you know, you'll see these reels on Facebook or on
a few
TikTok.
Seconds long, aren't they only?
Yeah. And they give us little dopamine hits.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. And we all love dopamine.
Yeah.
And anybody who is on or who has ADHD, they lack in dopamine.
Okay.
So these kind of things, you know, the TikToks or the Reels or the PlayStation games, they give an instant dopamine hit, which is why they're highly addictive.
Yeah, and I found with, I remember even last Saturday morning, my son lay down next to me and we started flicking through, I think, Instagram Reels, like cat videos. And before we knew it, like an hour had passed. And now, do you know what? It was a bit of fun, but like, and from time to time, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's about getting that balance, isn't it?
It is, of course. Again, everything is about balance.
Yeah.
And also, again, watching it. Are we using the phones as a distraction from bigger issues? So it can take us away from the reality of our lives.
And again, I'll plug a much better thing to do with your time, and I do try it now, is read. get away from the screen and read.
Or an audiobook.
An audiobook,
reading is not your thing, audiobooks are great.
Absolutely.
You can also get those snippets of like books and stuff. You probably know more about that, Barry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's a great way to, you know, and podcasts, things like that, because I find when I'm reading or listening to an audiobook, I kind of feel I've used my time better.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Sometimes you feel guilty if you spent an hour looking at cat videos.
Absolutely. You know? But I love an old podcast. I really do. I love it. There's so much information to be gained, and it gives you also a connection with other people and community.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to just stay on that. We're talking about phones, and we mentioned this in the last one, but I just want to come back to it because it's so important. Social media, and this is something we've looked at a lot in Europe Direct, especially from the point of view of disinformation. And, you know, social media, that's maybe another thing we need to find a bit of balance with. Again, it can be very positive. It can be a way of keeping in touch with friends, especially people who are far away. It can be great. I mean, I have, many years ago, I worked in France and I had two friends there from Germany and Mexico. And we reconnected a couple of years ago because of this. And now we have a little WhatsApp group and we keep in touch and share pictures. And we've all grown up now and have our kids and all the rest of it. And it's been lovely. So that there is a good side to it. But there's also this side of you're going through social media and you're seeing things that outrage you, you know, designed to get you riled up. And a lot of it's fake, you know. So we need to be careful of that.
Yes. Of course, and also there can be a lot of online bullying, trolling, that kind of thing. So it's really protecting yourself from that, and only maybe putting out there what you're willing to do, willing to show about yourself without being exposed or your vulnerabilities being exposed in any way.
No, that's it. And to be careful what you share as well, social media as well.
Very careful. Because once it's out there, it can't be taken back as well.
That's it. So, I mean, again, it could be a question of maybe I'm going to take half an hour a day to do my social media or 20 minutes or whatever at this time, and that's my time for that.
Yes.
You know, so, again, you don't have to, as you say, it's not about going to extremes. Just maybe, you know, find that right balance.
Yes, of course it is. But I think particularly for adolescents, there's a lot of comparison. So they will look at, you know, models or whoever is in vogue at the time and compare themselves to that person. You know, I don't look like that. What can I change in my body? You know, the body dysmorphia is a big thing as well at the moment. A lot of young girls in particular, changing aspects of their body, trying to look like whoever it is on social media that they aspire to be. And again, also different unrealistic expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, and I've seen the, I think we mentioned this the last time, but videos, oh, look, I'm having a magnificent time and this, I'm walking through the forest and turns out they're in their back garden or, you know, this kind of thing. You know, it's very easy to, I mean, both you and I mean, people can't see this because they're only hearing the audio. I mean, I've got the Halfpenny Bridge behind me, you've got a beach behind you, so you know, on screen. So it's very easy to give an impression, isn't it, of having this wonderful life.
It is, of course it is. And then we can go into comparison mode. Oh, well, I'm not like that. Or, you know, I don't have a partner or a boyfriend or, you know, whatever, those kind of things.
That's it, exactly. And I mean, one, I'm going to share one actually. I found that I helped me with my mental health. And it was a good few years ago, and I've mentioned this to a few people. We saw this documentary on Netflix by two guys called Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Field Milburn, and they're often known as the minimalists, these two guys. And what they
Ooh.
did was they kind of just simplified their lives. They kind of looked, you mentioned decluttering earlier, you know, a
Yes.
decluttered bedroom, and I think Marie Kondo's very kind of into this as well. She does all this kind of thing. And it was a question of looking at, well, what do I actually need? Do I need all this clutter? Do I need all this stuff? Do I need X, Y, Z? And kind of reducing it down. And what I found is the less stuff you have, the less stuff you have to worry about as well.
Yes, of course. And
You know.
you know, our environment, how it is can be indicative of how our mental health is.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the cluttered house, the messy house, everything just piling up, but it also can be how we feel inside, completely overwhelmed, cluttered. Also we can declutter our friend groups. As well, often we need to do that too. That some friendships no longer serve us, and it's
I can.
okay to distance yourself from people that can be potentially triggers
Yeah,
to
or can be
mental health.
quite toxic to you as well. I mean, it can
Yes.
happen. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, talking about that as well, the minimalism again, you, it doesn't have to be an extreme thing. You don't have to be sitting there in an empty house,
No.
but it can be. And actually, the two guys who do this have made videos where they kind of mock themselves, and they go in and the house is completely empty, like, and there's absolutely nothing there whatsoever. And I think they end up, you know, decluttering each other out of there.
Oh.
And they have a fantastic podcast as well called The Minimalists, and you can find it on any
Oh.
podcast series, and it's
I
really
did
good.
look at, yeah, I looked at that show on Netflix and it was fantastic. And I think one of the lines that I, you know, kept thinking is, does this bring me joy? Does this bring me meaning? If not, throw it out,
Throw it
get rid
out.
of it.
Or they've another great one called the 2020 rule. You know, that kind of where we see, well, just in case, I'll keep it just in case.
Oh yes,
And they
we all
say,
have
well,
that.
if it's a thing where you can get one, you can either buy one. I think they said that they use dollars. They said if you can get it for less than $20 in less than 20 minutes, or borrow it in less than 20 minutes, get rid of it. That
Yeah.
was
And
kind of
it's
their thing.
amazing that sense of freedom that you feel when you declutter the house.
And I said it doesn't have to be extreme. And they say in the thing, I think somebody asked them, but I love my books. And they say, well, then keep your books.
Yeah.
That brings you joy. Keep your books. Don't, it doesn't have to be an extreme. It's excess.
It is.
And there's something about living a little more simply. I mean, you mentioned the Buddhist monks and all that earlier, who live
Yeah.
such simple lives, and their, you know, their heart rates are amazing, and they're, you know, so it's something I've personally found really, really interesting. And the two guys have another great line. I think it's love people and use things, because the opposite never works. I think that's a nice way of putting it as
Oh,
well.
yes, that's lovely.
It's a nice,
That really is.
and just to finish on that point, one thing that is difficult, like, we're bombarded on social media and elsewhere, buy this, you need this, this will make your life better. You buy this thing, you're going to be happy. The dopamine again, and you buy it and you probably
Yes.
are happy for an hour, and then, you know, so that's another thing, reason maybe to reduce the social media a little bit.
It is, yeah. And we can be convinced, you know, if I buy this makeup or whatever, I'm going to look this way and I'll look great and my life will change. And just again, just simplifying your life down, again, not comparing yourself too much. You are you. You are your unique self. And you have your qualities that no one else has.
Yeah.
And again, just something simple can be practicing gratitude.
Yeah.
And the art of gratitude can be transformational.
Yeah.
And just three things a day. It might be just acknowledging three very simple things that, you know, I try and do it myself. So today, for example, it was I'm so grateful that I have my children.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The second thing is I'm grateful that I have this, you know, nice breakfast to eat.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I have my car.
Yeah, things like that, simple. And it's interesting because in the last podcast, I mentioned Mark O'Donovan, who's done some work with us. And that was one of the things he said. He said, count your blessings every day.
Yes.
Just think of a few things you're grateful for. Because we often think so much about what we don't have.
We do. We think we operate from a place of lack.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have this. I don't have that. We become so consumed by that and what I need to make me feel happy.
Things. Absolutely. And it's something I found. I mean, and again, I haven't gone to extremes. I sort of, you know, plenty of stuff, but maybe a bit less than before, a bit less clutter than before, and I find it's making quite a difference. For example, we actually don't have a car. We made a decision a few years ago. Let's see, can we go without? Because it's maybe not only that, it was good for the environment. It's one of the things we can do for the environment to help reduce our kind of carbon footprint. I don't criticize anyone who does as a car, so it's absolutely necessary. But we said, let's see if we can. We're lucky we live in a city where we can get around for the most part.
Yes.
There's some disadvantages, but for the time being, it's and it's kind of liberating, I have to say. It is kind of liberating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So to finish up, we spoke about kind of the everyday things that we can do, but sometimes things can get maybe a bit too much to cope with. You know, we can hit some of the more serious stuff with depression, anxiety, and there is a time maybe where we need to turn to more professional sources of help. And could you maybe talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and definitely, I think sometimes it's the people that are around us that are noticing those changes and encouraging us to seek professional help. So it's always maybe the first port of call is going to your doctor and discussing your symptoms, having an open and honest conversation if you feel comfortable. And sometimes it may be recommended that medication is prescribed, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And and I know that a lot of people have hang-ups about taking medication.
There's still a bit of a stigma as well, isn't there?
There is, or there's fear, you know, what if I become dependent on this, or what if I become addicted to it? The medication is there for a reason, and medication can be life-changing.
Yes,
it really can.
Yeah.
So it's just understanding what the medication can do, how it works on the brain, and it's also just maybe just being a little bit more open to that. What I often say is, you know, if you've got a car and the battery goes flat, you know, what you do is, you know, get the battery sparked. And sometimes our brain is a little bit like that. We're flat. We're not producing any serotonin at all, or any of those feel good chemicals. So our brain needs to be kickstarted. And just like the car, it needs to be sparked. So that's what the medication can do.
And at the end of the day, I mean, if you've heart condition or diabetes or something, you take medication.
Take something,
there's nothing wrong if you need it to help with a mental health issue as well.
It's not. And it's just the medication is synthetically providing what we can't provide, what we can't produce ourselves and what we no longer can produce. So it can be absolutely life-changing, and there is no shame in taking medication at all.
And then the kind of the counselling side of things or psychotherapy, like that can then be an option for some people.
It can, talking therapy, absolutely. And I am combined therapy, I think, is really, really effective. So it's taking medication and engaging in a talking therapy, be that with a psychotherapist, a counselor, a psychologist. Mm-hmm. But it's about finding a person that you trust, that you feel comfortable talking with, and also a person who is professionally accredited as well.
And we might put some links down underneath this
to
find out where. And the other thing is, I mean, cost can be an issue for people. And there are some supports out there, I know, and there are some options for people.
There are. And within a lot of community centres, there are low-cost counselling services. And these services are often provided by counselors or psychotherapists in training. Mm-hmm. And as part of their training, they are required to build up so many client hours. Mm-hmm. So they'll work under supervision. Right. So it's a really cost effective way to get some free counselling or low cost counselling.
Yeah, and in Blanchardstown Library, actually, we share the building with Jigsaw, which is a youth mental health organisation, and they do fantastic work. So again, any kind of young people listening or parents of young people who might be struggling, Jigsaw is a great port of call to go to. And we've done a few joint initiatives with them as well. So that's the other thing. I mean, don't be afraid if you feel it's maybe gotten too much, where you've kind of tried all the other stuff, and
yes,
it could be maybe a slightly more unmanageable issue. You know, it might be time to have a talk with
someone. Of course. And as I've said, your doctor is often the first port of call. Your doctor should be able to recognize if this is a more serious, complicated issue, and to refer you on then to perhaps a psychiatrist if your depression is more on the serious end.
Okay.
But talking therapies are really useful, cognitive behavioral therapies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where you're learning how to manage your thoughts and your behavior. So you're learning different techniques to help also with your emotional regulation. So there's so many things out there. And again, there's so many free tools that people can access on the internet. There's also various agencies, phone lines that people can contact as well.
Yeah, we might put up a list of those kind of under this.
Yeah,
as well,
it's really important. But it's, please, you know, reach out. Don't feel alone. You know, we might maybe put a link also to myself, Barry, if anybody
we can do that.
Wanted to reach out as well.
Yeah, and the beauty now is counselling can be done. I mean, one thing that
online
came about from COVID is that we're more used to, I mean, we're speaking online right now, so.
Absolutely. We can be anywhere in the world or any time, and we can access support. But I don't know, you know, the experience of being heard, of being seen, being listened to can be so cathartic, be so changing.
Very healing.
Really, it can. And often, Barry, we have the answers inside ourselves.
Yeah.
We just need a space. We just need somebody who will listen to us without judgment.
Yes.
And where we feel safe, where we feel free to be our vulnerable self.
And that's the thing. Don't be like, I think the not judgment is very important as well. A lot of people feel, oh,
so
God,
important.
I'm going to be judged. And we especially get a lot of young people as well, and members of the LGBTQ plus community who might be feeling a lot of self shamed as internalized homophobia, transphobia, that type of thing. And again, you know, therapy, counseling can be a great space to speak about those things without fear of judgment. And that's a don't be afraid to reach out, you know.
Not at all. Often we can create an internal prison for ourselves. And once we break out of that, it's there can be so much relief found in that.
Definitely. Yeah. And good, very good things can happen, you know, at that point. So listen, I think that's a great place to end on. I mean, we've looked at so many tips now for minding your mental health, from mindfulness to better sleep, exercise, better diet, using screens and social media less, connecting with friends, pastimes, practicing self-kindness, gratitude, simplifying your life, minimalism, and then finally seeking counseling, psychotherapy, if you feel it's all too much for you. So, I mean, there's a huge amount to go on there. So Amber, thanks so much for speaking to me over the two podcasts. I'm sure we'll have you back to speak again. Maybe someday we'll have you live. That would be great. We'll reconnect again.
Yes, and thank you so much for having me, Barry, and also for just raising awareness of such an important issue in society today. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you so much.